Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. My name is Brock.
And I'm Brandon.
And we are simplifying the good life here in the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We're the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way. We're going to be covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication, the internet, a lot of what have you.
Technical snafus and what have you. Yeah. And on top of all that, we've also got things to drink. So maybe the first thing we'll do is drink that stuff. So, and we have a guest today. It's our friend, David Hetty. He's, a friend and neighbor, bike mechanic, simplifier, and all-around good guy. So welcome to the podcast, David.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Oh, that's right. And it would help if you... Thank you, sir. You're a good man. There we go. So, David's here to talk to us a little bit later on about microwaves and life without. So we'll be hopping into that in a little bit. But before we do, we have some things to drink. So, Brandon, what is it that you have?
Let's see. I've got a big old bottle of the Winter Humbug. It's a rich holiday porter made by McTarnahan's. They're a brewing company right here in Portland, Oregon.
Good people.
And how.
Yeah, they were the ones that had the commercial a while back. It was like, there's nae better beer. I think it was on the television.
Is that how it goes?
5 or 8 years ago, something like that.
Ivan.
Yeah, but so that's what you've got. And Hetty, you happen to have the same, right?
Same thing.
Just coincidentally, it wasn't. It wasn't
Christmas miracle.
Coordinated. It was. Yeah, and then about half an hour ago, I walked down to our local corner store, the Checkers Mart, and I brought
in a black bag.
In a black bag, the 24 ounces of Old English 800. It's a malt liquor, and it's got a beautiful looking crown. It's like the chess piece, the rook.
The rook?
Is it a rook? Is it a
rook?
Yeah, the castle. But anyways, so cheers, everybody. Here we are. And we got a couple things. One of the things I was thinking about was we've got publicity in the iTunes store now, so you can find us. You can find us there if you do a search for the Sprocket Podcast. There's also information on our website about subscribing if you use iTunes or anything else that gathers all of your things into one place, slides them down a tube into your computer, and then you put them on your personal MP3 or whatever it is. So there's that. And then on our website, which is http://thesprocket.podbean.com, we've got some stuff up there about... we've got a Facebook page. You can like us there if you want to. And then we've got our contact info. The email address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. And we've got a phone number, which is 503-847-9774. And just initially, we've got a couple folks that wrote in. John in North Bonneville said, hey, you should tell us what you're drinking like in the text, in the description of the podcast. So so if anybody wants to look
good
up
idea.
Yeah, our beer reviews or other alcoholic reviews just by type or by brand or whatever. So we put that in there. Thanks, John. And then Abe in San Diego, he was actually a guy that Adele and I, my wife, we stayed with him in San Diego at the end of our big long trip in 2009. So he wrote in and said, hey, check it out. And there's a, I think he said it was the Bitches Brew from Dogfish. He said we should give that a shot. So we'll have to find that.
May I have the honor of enjoying that next
You certainly
episode?
May. Thank yeah. You. Well, since I'm the one that's drinking from the can.
The Bitches Brew shall be mine.
That's right. Is there a place to get that around here?
It's Portland, man. I'll find a way.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was just at the, John's Marketplace up in Multnomah Village, which has more beer than I ever thought was possible to have. Have you been there, David?
Nope.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely fantastic. So, recommend that. And then, bike stories. As far as just personal stuff, Adele and I went to the Portland International Raceway, and they've got a big light set up, kind of like the zoo light thing that you'll have in a lot of places, where they just set up a fantastic light display, and most people will go there and drive through. But there was a bicycle night where they said, "Hey, come on in and ride around the track and check it out." And so we went,
How was it?
It was beautiful. It was not as cold as it was the year before. The year before it was like 20 degrees or something, And we were just barely, it was sponsored by a local bike shop. And I think that year when it was 20 degrees, they were actually like, they had their van there. And in the absence of like a warming shelter of any other kind, they just opened up the van and said, hey, hop in and warm your toes and awesome. Fingers and everything.
How many of the people there, Brock, were sober?
Sober? I think
the bicyclists, yeah.
I think they were all sober. There's a lot of kids.
Okay.
As far as a lot of kids and families.
They were sober too?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was a family-friendly event. So as far as I could tell, there was no one who was seemed to be out of control or anything, but it was beautiful. We got our picture taken by a local photography company. So if you want to see our picture, I'll post that up on the internet so you can check it out. So yeah, that was what I did last week. Anything for you, Brennan? Anything exciting?
Nothing too remarkable. Reading, studying, biking through the rain. Oh my God. Today,
it's been a tough week for rain.
It has been a miserable week for the biking.
Do you have any, have you had any particularly bad days outside, Hedy?
Yeah, nothing to speak of. I actually have been extremely busy remodeling my house.
Oh, okay.
So have been working from home.
Which nice.
Which is kind of nice.
It's nice to have the option. I can't drive the school bus from home. I wish I could, but there's no
someday.
There's no possible way.
You could replace the RV.
That's right. Yeah, and actually, that's another thing. Yeah, I finally donated my RV to a local charity, and they've got an auto donation program. It had been it's something that my friends have lived in for a long time. As far as I started out living in it for about a year and a half as I was moving into Portland, and then. Our other housemate Jacob lived in it for a while, and our friend Aaron, and I think for the first week that Adele and I were back in Portland after our honeymoon, after we got married, we both lived in the RV, and that's trying times right there. But I'm thinking someday we'll have to get all the folks that lived in Woodrow. That was the name that we gave it affectionately, but we should get all those folks together and just kind of talk about what it's like to live in a really small enclosed space. So yeah, but. That was exciting and somewhat emotional, strangely emotional. I watched it drive away, and a tear almost came to my eye. So
it was rain.
It was. It was very wet. So we got big news, exciting news. There's a website called BikePortland.org. They collect all kinds of stories. There's a journalist named Jonathan Moss who is the proprietor of the site and writes a lot of the stories, I think. And yeah, it's a great resource for bicycle, alternative transportation types of things of all different kinds and stripes. He was nice enough to let us peruse the thing and speak about the stories at will. So we've got a couple of those tonight. The first thing, the IKEA bike thing. There was the president of IKEA came out with a statement saying that he was giving away a lot of bikes. And let me check here real quick. There was the number.
12,400.
You've got it memorized.
Memorized.
Nice. I just saw that on the screen, but that was as soon. Yeah. So that's a lot of bikes. But it was kind of like the Christmas bonus thing, right? They just said, hey, here's something to make your life more sustainable and better on the earth. So
for all U.S. employees.
For all U.S. employees. That's a lot of people, and that's a lot of bikes.
There are 350 employees at the Portland IKEA alone.
Wow, that's
a
lot.
That is insane.
Yeah. I've still never been there. I know you got a bunch of stuff for your house, Hedy, right? You kind of put a bunch of those things up on walls and furniture.
Yeah, bookshelf and a bed. They've got some really nice foam mattresses.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't need box springs or anything, just like a couple inch foam mattress.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
You're not a big box store kind of guy. How do you react to walking through that place? Because it's kind of engineered wonderment.
It is, but once you know what you need, and you can go directly at it. Instead
so you don't
of
walk
around,
through the showrooms?
Don't walk the showroom.
Just go right to the big basement.
Go down to the basement and ask for where it is.
Nice.
You find it online, and then you go, ask in the basement.
That's helpful.
That's my trick.
Yeah. So anyways, they gave these bikes away, and surprisingly enough, they weren't road bikes. I've got a picture of it here in front of me, and the bicycle happens to be kind of a mountain bike sort of thing. Like it's got the suspension. It's like the weird split frame thing where the seat post doesn't go all the way down to the bottom bracket. And I've heard some people kind of there's a little bit of controversy about whether or not this is useful to people and whether or not it's actually a quality bike. So I remember we were having a conversation, you and I, Hedy, about whether or not that was actually a good thing for the company to do. What was your position on that again?
Well, depending upon which day you catch me on. But I think overall it's probably a good thing that they did more bikes. I guess the problem is we have enough junk already
right here.
In our great country. And
this wonderful country of ours.
And what happens is a lot of those parts and, you know, maybe not the frame, but a lot of the parts will just end up in the landfill because they're not going to last that long.
So they're not going to last for the long haul? Like,
yeah, I don't think so. So
brake mechanisms?
I would say probably invest a little more money, get a little higher quality bicycle.
Sure.
Because then you're not going to be dealing with broken parts. To replace one shifter alone, you're looking at $30, $40, which is, you know, half the value of the bike. So.
Yeah, for sure. Which is kind of a bummer, I guess. I don't know. It's cool. I love the theme behind it, like the idea of, hey, let's give people an alternate way to get into work. But I remember also I was reading the article and somebody who said, like, they live in Beaverton, so they're probably gonna ride the bike around home, they said, but they're not gonna be like riding it all the way over the West Hills, you know, 20 some miles all the way down to the airport, just on the bike. But you know, so it's kind of the good and the not so good. But props to IKEA for at least thinking in the right direction. So
I agree.
What better Christmas bonus than a bicycle? So, yeah. The other thing that I wanted to look at was the drunk biking thing. There was a story about the various things that you have to consider when you're drinking, as we are now, and when you're going out on your bicycle. Because in Oregon, the same rules apply to you as a driver as they do, like, if you're on a bicycle or anything that uses the roadway. The idea that you get a ticket while you're on your bicycle and you're drunk, that's a BUI, bicycling under the influence, and there's like a three strikes thing for your license. So if you get a bunch of these things, they take your license from you, and you're done for a while.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's good if you like having your license, you like driving. I guess you don't need a license to ride a bike. Like, they don't pull you over and check on that.
So in other words, this does not apply to me.
Yeah, that's right, because you don't have a car and you don't drive.
I don't have a license to begin with, so I can't take away that which I never had.
Well, there you go. Can they revoke your state ID?
Yeah, I guess so.
So you're no longer a citizen of Oregon.
Yeah.
For me, as a school bus driver, that's my profession. And at first, I was kind of shocked, but I've kind of come to realize that what I do on a bike, like if I run a red light, which I did one time, I was crossing Woodstock Boulevard. It was late at night. It was like 11 o'clock, and I was really tired. I think I had been at my girlfriend's house, and we were hanging out late, and so I was going home at like 1 in the morning or something like that. So I'm at Woodstock Boulevard, and I'm crossing the street, but right before I get there, the light turns, and so I stop, look both ways. There's nothing going on. And so I'm just like, you know, screw this. It's 1 in the morning. I'm going for it. And so I hop back onto the pedals and I push through the intersection. No problems. Nobody was coming, but I failed to notice that behind me was a Portland police officer. So they pulled me over. They ran my ID, which at that time was still out of state because I'd just moved to Portland. And
this is why to this day, if I'm even contemplating such a thing, I don't look each direction left and right before I proceed. First, I look behind me for that exact thing because I've started to give the pedal some momentum, and then as I look behind me, hit the brakes because there be the whoop, whoop.
That's right. Yeah. So you got to watch your back.
Yeah.
So, anyways, there was.
But we're thankful for them all the same.
That's right. Well, the servants of the public interest in keeping us safe and that sort of thing. Much appreciated. So they gave me a written warning. I didn't actually get a ticket that time, but I took it home and I used it as a bookmark. So it worked out okay. One of the statistics from the story that we had on bikeportland.org was that 6 of 14 fatalities on bicycles were due to drunkenness. So it's not quite half, but it's quite a bit. Balance is one thing that you don't think about as much when you're driving a vehicle with four wheels or something with more stability. But when you're on two wheels, yeah, you've just got a bunch of different factors. And I guess if you're already impaired, if you're feeling a little tipsy and a little dizzy, then look out. So, yeah. Well, anyways,
I wonder if they'll start doing drunk walking.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, because that would be easy to, you just kind of sit out
some
there.
Some people just walk that way, though.
It's true. Do you?
No.
Okay, that's good. I feel like I've gotten really good at kind of maintaining my composure when I drink. And maybe it's just that
it's called a building up resistance, a tolerance for it.
I've got a tolerance, yeah. It just seems like, I don't know, like, the longer I've been of drinking age and drinking lots of alcohol, I feel like I have a pretty good sense of how to keep my composure, you know, just not to fall mm-hmm. over. I feel like I'd be really good at walking the white line, but I've never had to do that yet, so we'll
wow.
see.
Wow. Well, yeah. That's a skill.
Perhaps in the next episode, we'll make you pound that dogfish and
there we go.
Walk the line.
We'll walk out and find
right. It'll be not a podcast, but a vlog.
Exactly. Yeah, well, yeah. That'll be a little bonus thing. So I think that's it. There's one more story I found from another source that talked about skateboarding, and we'll just touch that real briefly because if I'm not mistaken, Hedy, you are a skateboarder, right?
I skateboard.
Yeah.
I was a skateboarder back in the day.
Okay.
But I skateboard still.
Yeah, your father.
To get around.
That's right. Yeah. Well, grown-up people don't skate, right? That's what I've always heard. But actually, it's that as long as you signal, wear lights, and obey the rules of the road, you can skateboard in the street, and it's perfectly legal. So that's all right. One of the things I saw in the article I was reading was that the Tigard Code in Tigard, Oregon, it's illegal to, quote, whistle, sing, dance, skate, or swear in public bathrooms at city parks. And I'm not sure, I don't know if they were having big problems with people dancing, skating, and swearing in a bathroom. Most park bathrooms I've been to are really small, but you never know. There's no accounting for what people are able to do, especially if they're really excited about it. So, anyways.
Could you imagine if they would have outlawed whistling in the 50s or
outlawing whistling. That, there would have been no Andy Griffith Show, that's for sure. At least not in the form that we know it. But, yeah. So, anyways, that's the news right now. We should practice this thing. I haven't used it nearly as much as I thought I would, but we've got live sound now on the program, which I'm really excited about. So that's the bell concluding our news thing.
Can you do it one more time, Bar?
Sure. Here you go.
Oh no!
Wrong button. So anyways, we're gonna take a break here. On the other side, we'll get back to David Hedy, and he'll tell us a little bit about life without microwaves. So yeah, thanks for joining us here on the Sprocket. We'll be right back. This is Josh Schicker. He used to be in Portland. I think now he's in Michigan. I have to check that. But this is his song Open Door from the 2005 release Moonlighting. And you can find him on the internet at Josh Schicker, S-C-H-I-C-K-E-R, joshschicker.com. So here's Open Door, and we'll be right back.
I know you don't trust me. I see it in your eyes. Moonlighting, escaping, as if you could hide. Suspicious, so cautious, don't step on the crack. They say you are dying, but I've come to bring you back. I'm the open door before you. I am peace of mind. I'm the open door that I've been waiting all this time you to step inside. So tell me, please tell me, have you had enough reliving
We're back on the Sprocket Podcast. We were just commenting during the break about the IKEA thing a little bit more, and you had said something, Brandon, about how they should have come with directions to assemble the bicycle and all.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I was looking through it actually and found out that you can build the entire thing with a 5mm Allen wrench.
So nice, nice. It's just a single. Yeah, very easy, very simple.
Every bolt, every screw.
Yeah.
I guess there's no screws. Maybe one or two.
Yeah. And you were saying, Hedy, that you saw something kind of funny in the news about...
Yeah, I was at Speedboat Coffee over there on Foster, and reading the business section, which I do here and there, and on the front page was this story about the IKEA bicycles. And it looks like, you know, the morning when the store manager brought out the bike to show everybody, all the, you know, employees are gathered, the bicycle fork was turned the wrong direction.
So not just that it was like he had the handlebars turned all the way around, but somebody had actually put it together wrong.
The handlebars were straight. The fork was pointing backwards, and therefore the brake was actually facing the down tube.
Wow. That goes,
yeah. So
does that mean it was like unrideable and inoperable?
I would say you could probably ride it, but you're probably gonna crash pretty quickly.
Tempting fate.
Yeah. But so, it was just ironic, you know, the installation, you know, kings with a bicycle built incorrectly.
Right. So. They need the little thought bubbles that will tell you exactly
what
to do.
The language non-specific instruction.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. For global assembly.
That's right.
But I guess the moral of the story is that you just want to make sure you. You put together the bike right before you give it to thousands and thousands of people.
But yeah, I saw there's somebody on Craigslist charging $25 a build for these IKEA employees.
Oh, so are they? They're coming disassembled?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
they come in a box.
I had no idea.
Yep.
Okay.
That is stupid.
Well, at least
it's consistent with their ethos and
I guess
or
yeah
aesthetic.
Right, right, right. It's yeah. Well, you learn something when you put it together. You become ever so much more just good at building, and sharpens the brain. Let's talk a little bit about microwaves. You, David Hedy, as long as I have known you, I think, have not had a microwave in your house.
Have not.
It's one of those things that's probably taken for granted just by about most people, I think, in life. You have one because it's a quick and simple way to take your leftovers and reheat them. It's a good way to make hot water if you don't have time to boil it on the stove, or if you don't know how to boil it on the stove, as not too long ago I did not. It's a very convenient thing, but you somehow have found a way to live without it. So tell me a little bit about your thing. Maybe we can start with how you made the decision. Like, what were some of the things that made you think, hey, this is something I could live without?
Yeah. So once again, thanks for having me, Brock and Brandon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure is ours as well.
So, microwave. The decision came about, I think I was in college when I began confronting the fact that our culture is fast-paced. I guess I didn't have much responsibility until I hit college, so I hadn't really thought too much about it. Mm-hmm. But everything was just flying by. Everybody's always asking me what my what my job's going to be, what am I going to do, and then, just adding up the whole change from adolescence, living under your parents' roof, moving out on your own. I think I just realized for the first time, wow, our society is really fast-paced. Uh-huh. And I think that I began to realize that if I wasn't doing something about it, I was being moved at that same rate of speed.
Okay.
I just began to look at some of my choices and started thinking more in terms of health and, food is greatly related to that, your health. So started looking and researching a little bit more about preparing foods in their whole natural form instead of processed foods. And, for the most part, microwaves are used to cook processed foods.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things.
9 times out of 10.
You can't put collards into a microwave.
You probably could, but I don't think they'd turn out very tasty.
Something you grow, something you get out of the produce department. If it's just the produce department, yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
So, in terms of food, which kind of this all gets back to food and I guess water as well, the microwave is kind of the epitome of the convenience culture. And, we want it right now as quickly as possible.
You snap your fingers and it's there.
We want it to taste good.
Yeah.
It's got to have salt or sugar, for it to taste good.
Right.
And
lots of it.
So, yeah. That is what kind of pushed me towards experimenting without having a microwave. And it's been 15 years now that I haven't had a microwave in my home.
So was that just like...
I'm still alive.
Yeah. You're doing... And robust, I might add. But... Yeah, so that was, the choice was not so much the idea that maybe that you wanted to try it without the microwave as much as you just wanted to make better food, and so it started not so much like microwaves are bad, but more like good food is not made in a microwave, so I'm going to move to the stove.
Yeah, I think some of that. The initial thing was wanting to slow down.
Yeah,
I'd seen all the began to experience that the culture of constant change, and it just kind of honestly made me exhausted just being around it. And so I don't know, maybe that's just who I am. I get exhausted when I think about the way normal life is lived in this country. But so the initial was just wanting to slow down. And I could tell you a little bit more about why I don't use a microwave.
Please do.
Okay.
Please continue, sir.
Yeah. I like I said, the first thing is really wanting to slow down, especially in the area of cooking my food. I think food is not just something to give us fuel. It's really important to put good food in your body so you function well.
Sure.
And fight off disease and have calories to burn when you're biking and whatnot.
Yeah.
But there's also a deep spiritual connection for me with food. And so that side of things, I think, does not lend itself well to cooking your food with a microwave.
Sure.
So
it seems like there's very, very much that's not spiritual about a microwave. Like it's just the pure mechanics of it, like the noise that it makes.
Right.
And I don't know.
It's microwaves of the sound waves in the room, right? Like how often
you
toss something in the microwave and you were having a conversation with somebody and...
And all of a sudden there it is, yeah. Nicely done.
See? It does that. It does that.
Yeah. So you've got the health, the spiritual. Is there anything else that goes into the choice and the lifestyle?
Yeah, definitely the health aspect as well. The slowing down, the spiritual side of things. I actually did begin to experience much greater satisfaction, happiness, cooking, believe it or not, with whole ingredients from scratch than popping something in the microwave. There's just something there where I experience great joy in preparing.
Yeah,
right. I'm sure both of you can identify.
Well, it's like the bike touring thing. Like the destination is not nearly as important as like the journey getting there. So maybe that's the same with the food. Like it's not just that you're going to have something that tastes good, but but it's also enjoyable to know that you know how to take these raw ingredients and render them into something that's tasty.
Well, exactly.
It's like this relationship between you and whatever's in the pan. Like, all right, I'm trying to make sure all this works out right, and how long do I caramelize that for, and take it off the heat, and you're going to screw up, but like it's fun. Yeah. Like it takes patience and like mindfulness.
So you're already using words like caramelize that kind of I already feel like I'm maybe not as good of a person in the kitchen as you, Brandon, but that's okay.
I'm going to caramelize onions later tonight, so
that makes you awesome. So the first question I was thinking of was, isn't this terribly inconvenient? Like, isn't it really, really difficult to not be able to pop something in and have it warm immediately?
It is inconvenient.
But it's an inconvenient truth.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the old
E-talking. I quit.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. I would... It's a little inconvenient at times, but you got to ask the question then, what is it inconvenient of?
Sure.
I mean, so time, sure, we have limited time. I have a family. We have a 20-month-old boy.
Yeah, who's so cute as buttons, by the way.
Thank you. And so our time is limited, but I think for us to
buttons, that's great.
Apparently that tickled Brandon quite a bit.
Yeah, for us the risk, if you will, is worth the reward there to have less time or whatever. By not using a microwave, we like I said, we get a lot of joy out of preparing our own food.
Yeah,
it really doesn't take that long to turn on your stove and boil some water in a kettle.
Not too much longer than a microwave.
Not too much longer,
because to boil water in a microwave actually takes longer than I would expect. Like it's a good couple of minutes of solid radiation just to nuke it into the place where it's finally warm enough for your tea or cocoa or whatever you're making. But yeah, the boiling the water, like we've got a hot pot here. We don't do it on the stove as much. We got one of those electronic things that plugs into the wall and uses a heating element. Yeah.
If you can get a stainless steel one, the plastic ones are a little scary.
But I remember. Seriously. Is ours plastic?
Petrol.
Yeah.
Well, like externally, I haven't really stuck my eyeballs into the innards of it.
Check that out. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, I was going to mention one more thing, though, back to your initial question, the health thing. You mentioned radiation.
Yeah.
You know, the FDA says we have controlled the radiation issue, so you don't need to worry about it. But they've also said that about a lot of other things, like, you know, dental x-rays and body scanners.
Because when you go to the dentist, they put that thing on you that protects your junk. It's big enough to cover your whole body, so that I guess in polite society you don't have to say it's about protecting your junk, but it goes over your junk.
And well, they also have a warning if you are having intercourse within a 3-month period of an X-ray, that your rate, the chances of a child having a deformity or all sort things, the rates go up pretty drastically.
This is why they get the heck out of the room when they hit the button. They're all right, I'm gonna put this like heavy apron over you and your junk, but like hit the decks.
Right, and they run, they go, like the
you're
activation.
Aiming it at my skull.
Yeah, they can't even do it when they're in the room. Like they have to leave the room just to go bzzz, so you can see like how your teeth are doing. But,
right. So back to the radiation.
Yeah, we're a bit far afield.
I don't necessarily want to just look at the microwave as okay, it's safe, but you gotta kind of add up all of the radiation in life, if you will.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of exposure from inside our home to all the wireless stuff going on around you, cell phones. So, yeah, I'm taking that into account with the health issue.
Sure. Would it be like taking like a bunch, like one pinprick isn't going to hurt you all that much, but if you take like 10,000 pins and you like poke them into a person all at once, that's not going to be comfortable.
Well, there are Eastern medicines that use that practice to bring
maybe
comfort.
I chose the wrong
it's
answer.
A metaphor.
So you had 10,000 pencils shoved at you, and then you got lead poisoning. Something like that.
It's a lot like
that.
That
was too
microwave
much.
Is one of those pencils or two or three jammed in you. But as far as also with health, it's not just radiation. It's what the microwave does to the food. It screws it up.
Right. It fundamentally alters the chemistry.
Yeah. What it... you probably know this, but I'm just going to repeat it.
I doubt that I do.
Okay.
Please do.
So it sends out electromagnetic radiation. It goes through whatever container you have it in, plastic or porcelain, which always ends up in the food, by the way.
Yeah.
And then it heats up water molecules and it excites them and it gets all heated up. But what it does in the process is it breaks the cell wall of the food. And so your body doesn't recognize it a lot of times as a quality food product, and it'll just get rid of it from your body. So yeah, it kills nutrients.
Put something in the microwave and it takes something that was grown in your own garden. It's perfectly healthy, perfectly good for you. Mm-hmm. But your body says, hey, this looks like it came from the local fast food joint, and it dumps it down the hatch.
Or it's like you're eating dirt. So So I'm hearing you say, Hedy, that like the nutrients get compromised. Like there's a reduction of how many nutrients are in there, but then also because it's turning them into something that your body is like, it's like speaking a different language. Oh, the nutrients that are left, your body's like, I don't trust this,
so to speak.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's all right. Pretty much it. I mean, it literally changes the cell structure of the food. So
yeah.
I'm not a scientist, a doctor, any of those things.
You're just a humble bike mechanic.
However, studies have shown that they can, you know, ruptured cell wall, this unstable food is what causes a lot of our modern diseases and cancers. And
yeah.
I don't want to, you know, use a microwave scare tactic.
Sure.
Thing, but I don't trust it. And, well, there was this one study I read about, actually, that they took broccoli, raw broccoli, and a little bit of water, and cooked it in the microwave. And they did some science testing on it to validate all this.
Magic.
It lost more than 90% of its antioxidant chemicals.
That's quite a bit. And especially if you're eating something like, because it's good for your body, like you're saying, hey, vegetables will take the oxidants out. So like blueberries, for example, that's something that everybody says blueberries are a great antioxidant.
And the reason we market blueberries like that is to clear out the things that come from industrial foods to begin with.
Right.
Right.
So we're removing the healthifying things and adding in the freakifying things.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, it's like an industrialization process when you put it into the radiation
of my
box.
Blood.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts. Well, I guess we could move on to the I just want to make sure we kind of get some of the major salient points that everybody will be interested in. How long has it been since you've had a microwave at home, Hedy?
Yeah, I mentioned a few minutes ago, 15 years
My
I have
goodness.
Not had a microwave. Wow. And I look at it like it's non-existent. It's just not an option. And I do that with a lot of things.
Sure.
Once you get rid of it, you just kind of erase it from your memory. So.
Yeah.
Honestly, inconvenient. It's not even a thing I think about in terms of microwave. But
that's nice. You built it right into your life pattern and rhythm. So I guess you mentioned like the stove and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Getting like more time into your schedule to make the food on the stove, has that been – was it tough at first?
Yeah, I think it took a change of lifestyle. I think philosophically first I had to say, how much time am I willing to spend with food preparation? And this is really for me just a dent into the time, because I do a lot with food preparation now, with fermentation, making my own kombucha and kefir and yogurt. And
nice. What's kefir again?
Kefir is...
It's like drinkable yogurt.
It's drinkable yogurt.
It's
it's got
smoothie?
Billions of bacteria in it. No, they make it into smoothies a lot. But it's actually, the story goes that it was handed down to Muhammad.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
From the mountain? Or did he have to go to the mountain to get it?
He put his face in a hat with gold tablets in.
I think so.
Oh, it's different. No, you're thinking
of something else.
No, this is the real story.
Yeah.
And the kefir grain was handed down. And so it's kind of like all good things came over here from Asia.
Yeah. There you go.
And
Jesus was Asian.
Yeah,
exactly.
Indeed.
So just kind of rethinking, how am I going to spend my time and apportioning it correctly? It's only in the last 50 years, really, that we've had the option to even spend so little time on our agriculture. It was not too long ago where most people still grew some food in their, backyard or farmers.
Like everybody had a garden. That was just the norm.
Exactly. So I think for me, it's just a kickback to years ago and yeah. saying I'm okay with that. So.
That's all right. It's normative to what it means to be human. Like,
right, exactly.
You're a dude, this is what you do.
Yeah. Yep. That's pretty great. So does your life feel simpler? That's the, I guess, the question.
Like, no question.
It's been effective.
So you're taking Jesus more time to learn about your food, to prepare your food, mm-hmm. to do your dishes afterwards. Same amount of time eating your food, but like there's so much more involved. How does that translate into something that you're calling simplicity?
Well, I like the aspect that I am involved in the preparation of it, so it yeah. simplifies the product.
There are fewer X factors. You don't have to ask the question like
fewer
who made
X
this.
Factors. But if you really look at a microwave pizza or whatever, there are tons of inputs into something like that. So it probably is more simple in that aspect. But how is it simplified? I think mostly it's simplified my mindset of how I spend my time and yeah. how I feed myself and my family. So it's brought joy, like I said, a sense of pride and taking care of my family
yeah.
with good, positive food that's going to nourish and not actually cause disease.
yeah, those are emotional and spiritual benefits, really. Like that, it just seems like that's a centering and solidifying yep. sort of existence.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also just getting rid of stuff that is not needed
yeah.
in the home.
Yeah.
And so we are, you know, pretty vigilant about making sure if things aren't being used, get them out. And microwave was one of those things.
There you go. That's nice. I just got rid of a microwave as I was getting rid of the RV this morning. It was just in there and it wasn't working. So it went with...
Well done.
It was part of the package, yeah. So I guess somebody will be happy somewhere with it. Maybe. Maybe they'll just throw it out. But yeah. So, well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing some of that stuff. It's really awesome. We've barely just scratched the surface. There's a lot more we could talk about with radiation and whatnot. But
yep.
but there's also there's a lot of people that are probably chomping at the bit to kind of hear the closing music and be done with. So
well, yeah, thanks for having me. It's I've listened to the first couple podcasts you guys did. And,
you're a gem.
Yeah, it's great. So
thank
keep
you.
It up. Thanks.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you in. We'll have to have you back because I know there are many more things. We didn't even talk about bicycles really at all as far as your involvement with them, but we'll be back. So have you done? You've done tours. You've done lots of them.
Lots of tours, yeah. Family tours, yeah.
So we got to talk about that for sure.
Definitely.
But before we wrap, let's talk a little bit about the beverages that we've been enjoying. So the one, I can't see the label. What's it called again? The Winter Humbug.
Humbugger.
Oh, interesting.
With a drunk guy who, until I look closely at it, I always think he's a zombie.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, what does that have to do with Christmas? But
sure. Well, it's hard to say what goes through the minds of people
well,
that design
to
labels.
To answer your question there, Brock, it's outstanding.
Nice.
As the relative quietness of my voice in this podcast
sure.
episode has indicated.
You've just been tamed down, mellowed
I'm
down.
I'm feeling it really well.
That's awesome.
It lives up to its claim of being a rich holiday porter. And
nice.
I really recommend it.
Yeah. Does it have the spicy holiday thing to it? Like, do you notice that?
Oh, no. It's just inner warmth.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not so much on the palate as it is in the soul.
I am all the more ready to greet baby Jesus.
In the pit of your being, you're waiting for Saint Nick to come sliding down the
him
chimney.
Too. Yeah. Baby Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I had the Old English 800. Yeah, 800 is in quotes. I'm not sure why, but yeah, it's 7.5% alcohol by volume, 24-ounce can, and it tastes all right. It's. I remember the first time I had Old English, I was really surprised that it wasn't as nasty as some people had said that it would be. You know, it's like, because it gets a bad rap, and probably justifiably so. It's a malt liquor, and it's inexpensive. I bought this for like $1.50, and yeah, it's not your high class drink. So I can understand how you know it would
the
be.
English are high class always.
They are, but they also boil stuff quite a bit,
yeah.
Which is debatable on whether or not that's a good call.
At least they're not microwaving it.
That's right.
Come on.
God save the queen. So the Yeah, it tastes a lot like any other, what is it, like PBR or any other, you know, lager sort of
quaffable
thing.
Quaffable malt-based inebriant.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably the same thing as like when I had the High Life, the Miller. It's inoffensive, but it's also somewhat lacking characteristics. So, you know, but I'm also very happy. So what can you say? So anyways, that's our stuff. Apparently it's, I had a bit of a slur there, I think. Just a tad. Well, let's say thanks to the many people who make this happen. Ryan J. Lane is the guy who made our theme music. You can find him on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. You can contact us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call us. Leave us a message. We'll listen to it and respond to you. 503-847-9774. We welcome your feedback for suggestions on topics, guests, and drinks. And you can find us on the internet at thesprocket.podbean.com. That's thesprocket.podbean.com. And we'll see you next time.
One alternative appliance that I've been using is a toaster oven, which is actually really nice, too, because you don't have to fire up your big oven to warm something up. So, toaster.